When we use technology like mobile apps, websites, and smart devices, we often take for granted that everything will work like it's supposed to. But much of the behind-the-scenes work that goes into making technology run smoothly doesn't get noticed until something goes wrong.
The ransomware attack has created a big mess for city services.
That was the spring of 2018 when the city of Atlanta suffered a major ransomware attack. It left city leaders and residents pulling out their hair.
I'm unable to resolve exactly what I owe to Watershed due to the fact that their computers are down and they're unable to really tell us anything.
The city had to do something in the short term to meet the needs of residents and in the medium term with one of the world's largest sporting events coming to town in less than a year.
But it was really wrapping around the city, creating a kind of a temporary infrastructure. In a crisis situation, it's the same thing you would do if you were dealing with a, storm.
This is WABE TechCast, exploring how technology shapes Atlanta and how Atlanta shapes technology. I'm Emil Moffitt. On this episode, the people behind the scenes making sure technology works, including Atlanta's one-time chief technology officer who guided the city through a bumpy few months in 2018. And later, an Atlanta-based company that's a vital part of our everyday tech, even though you might not know it.
Firmware is usually doing its thing under the hood, if you will. It's part of this, the computer that most people don't think about.
That's ahead.
Support comes from Grady Health Foundation, presenting Move for Grady Saturday, April 27th, featuring a family-friendly bike ride through Atlanta's in-town neighborhoods. There's a ride, run, or walk distance for everyone, benefiting Grady Health System. More at moveforgrady.com.
You love free, and at Ameris Bank, so do we. That's why we're proud to offer worry-free, hassle-free Ameris Bank free checking. Manage your money your way with convenient access to digital, mobile, and telephone banking, all with no monthly service fee or minimum balance requirements. At Ameris Bank, we're with you. For more information or to open an account, visit our local bankers in person or online at amerisbank.com/free checking. Other fees such as overdraft fees may apply. Ameris Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Around the time of the ransomware attack in Atlanta in 2018, the city reached out to Ty Hayes.
And I got a call and said, can you help? I innovate through crisis. That is my thing.
Hayes is a Navy veteran who has worked for Lockheed Martin and Atlanta Public Schools. She started her own tech consulting company based in Atlanta called Innovate. But she stepped away from that role for several years to serve as Atlanta's chief technology officer, dealt with the fallout from that 2018 ransomware attack.
For the city of Atlanta, it was two things that we needed to do. Get back to the basics, just basic operational efficiencies around technology. Security, of course, but the Super Bowl was coming.
She says they stabilized things so that the Super Bowl, with the attention of the world on Atlanta, could go off without a hitch.
But it was really wrapping around the city, creating a kind of a temporary infrastructure. In a crisis situation, it's the same thing you would do if you were dealing with a, storm.
It was after the Super Bowl, she says, that they could start the full rebuilding of the city's IT infrastructure. And her wish list was long.
Given, reins to fix and rebuild the city, put in best-in-class segmentation, provide best-in-class technology solutions for the city agencies, including the airport, the new technology over at the new parking deck that scans your license plate and all that. I remember being in the conceptual conversations for that innovation and smart lighting and preemptive lighting for DOT and the VIC and video integration centers for the police departments. So I've been all over.
Having the world's busiest airport in our backyard and within the auspices of the city of Atlanta, what are some of the biggest challenges behind really making that place run efficiently from a technology standpoint?
I think the biggest challenge, and there had to be a balance between the city of Atlanta being part of the city of Atlanta, but being having the autonomy to be the world's largest, most innovative airport and push those dreams. And so in a lot of ways, the airport pushed the city. right? Because we had to respond to where they really were trying to go. My thing with the city, though, was if we're pushing and this is the right thing to do, then we should deploy those same foundational things throughout the city. If we work together, pool our fundings from an infrastructure perspective, it will happen a lot faster. And so it was really having all the agencies agree. We are one city until we are different. So when we look at core foundational infrastructure systems, as a city of Atlanta core basis, this is the city of Atlanta. Those were the things that were standardized for the city. You had the autonomy to be very, very different, run as fast as you want in the areas that were specific and core to your business. So I didn't want the airport wanting a different email system, or I want a different HR. No, no, no. One standardized as an operational unit, airport then run on visual, you know, video integration and face recognition and the kiosks and all the different, you know, free Wi-Fi and all those things, challenge that. But that same free Wi-Fi concept, can we apply that same technologies to the parks? You know, it's the way we deliver it will be different, but it's the same model when we start talking about open access for the citizens.
When Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms left office last year, Hayes decided it was time to go back to her consulting company. That's where she recently launched a tool called SmartGov Data Tech, working with local governments and school districts to get the most out of the reams of historical data at their disposal. Data that's often just sitting there.
Often not being managed very well because it's just being backed up, you know, and not really used. It's really from a compliance or, you know, data retention policies, those types of things that drive that retention. But we're really challenging that norm to say, okay, if you are able to see your data, actually use and consume your data, how powerful would that be? Challenging, you don't need, you know, to have anyone sitting out counting traffic manually. Look at your study, pull your data, your own historical data, put some analytics to it and look at predictive analytics, and it gives you the best indicators of how you perform in a different model.
And she says that's part of what her company does, get cities and schools to think differently about their tech strategy.
You know, I really felt like a lot of times organizations will put IT in a box. They have a concept of what they think IT is. It's a service organization, help desk, laptop, you know, like a facilitator of goods.
But she says that expertise can also be used for other things.
There's a lot of things that make that digital execution more successful.
Support for WABE's local coverage on maternal health and mortality comes from Georgia Health Initiative, whose mission is to inspire and promote collective action that advances health equity for all Georgians. Learn more at GeorgiaHealthInitiative.org.
The world is full of mysteries. Are ghosts real? Is that yogurt expired? Hey, the unknown can be scary, but when you donate to WABE, you know where your money is going. Your gift supports the journalism that keeps you informed and the programs that pull back the curtain on complicated stories. Help us make the world less mysterious. Become a member now. Go online to wabe.org/donate, and thanks.
IT experts are important to keep things running smoothly, but so too are the machines themselves. And that's where Atlanta-based AMI comes in. It may not be a household name, but as the company's Kelly Bryant says, their technology is more than likely in some device that you've used.
You'll find AMI technology in your desktop, your notebook, the servers that run your applications on your phone. Some of the more interesting places would be we're found in a car infotainment center system. We're found in ATM machines. If you're in the Atlanta Hartsfield-Jackson Airport, you see these video kiosks. More than likely, that's got AMI technology there. The interesting thing is most people don't know that AMI is in there because the technology that we provide is specifically called firmware. And firmware is usually doing its thing under the hood, if you will. It's part of this, you know, the computer that most people don't think about.
AMI says its firmware can be found in nearly 3/4 of the server platforms around the world. And those servers power apps and a host of other technologies, too.
It's critical because it's really what lets you, you know, interact with all the connected devices in your home, you know, or your office as well.
And he says the more technology becomes ingrained in our lives, the more reliable it has to be.
If you look at autonomous car driving today, right, they typically have camera sensors all around. They will generate every hour about 4 terabytes of data that need to be analyzed and processed to make sure that you stay on the road or you avoid an accident.
What are some of the things that you all focus on to make sure that your product is secure against the increasing threats that we see out there on the web and in the world?
So I think the first thing is, you know, there was a report by the U.S. government that stated that, you know, the nation's critical infrastructure is largely exposed because of firmware. Because, as I mentioned before, most people don't even think about firmware. But that's really what, you know, nation states and a lot of hackers are targeting today, because it's the soft underbelly. People can exploit a vulnerability in a firmware, and because most people don't update their firmware, you know, if they do, it's maybe, you know, 9 to 12 months, if at all. That just means when there's like a day zero or a day one attack, you're exposed because someone can come in and exploit it. And the problem with firmware attacks specifically is they're very insidious, which means that, you know, firmware's got privileged access to your system because it's the first thing that runs. So if a hacker can get a hold of a vulnerability in your firmware, they can completely take over your system and control it. So there's quite a few things that, you know, we work on. One of them, and this is more industry type of initiatives, one's called Software Bill of Materials, or SBOM. So if you're an infrastructure manager for critical infrastructure, this tool will let you go in and see specifically what software components are in your system, what libraries, and that's going to give you a better ability to understand what vulnerabilities that you have that exist there and potentially close them. The other thing is called Hardware Root of Trust. And this is something where it will actually protect all the firmware that's on your platform. So it will make sure your firmware has not been tampered with or changed before you boot it up. And then actually when your system's running, and it's gonna monitor for changes as well. So AMI's recommendation is, you know, for people that are specifically responsible for the infrastructure to make sure that their providers have some kind of a solution around SBOM or Hardware Root of Trust, because that's largely going to help prevent them from being exposed to these vulnerabilities. Now, having said that, no one's immune from, you know, vulnerabilities. So I think, you know, as an ecosystem, you know, we work very diligently to, when there is a vulnerability, to work with the ecosystem to quickly alert our partners, make sure that there's a solution ready for them to patch it as well.
As far as, you know, students who may be pursuing a career in this type of field, what are some of the subject areas in the fields that they might look into if they are interested in getting into work like AMI does?
Obviously, sort of traditional code experience really around firmware, but I think the more exciting place today is, so AMI's technology, like I said, it gets, the way it works in the supply chain is that we provide firmware that gets built into a platform, and then that gets deployed in the end user market. So all the hyperscaler CSPs, enterprise data center. What a lot of these data centers want today is they collect so much data, right? And they want to analyze that data. So anything around data science would be extremely important. Machine learning, how to train those algorithms, do predictive analytics. So those are all areas that we're working on right now. And most of that data is being captured by an AMI technology that then gets fed up. So I would say, again, you know, anything around software, core software development, but also anything around the data science and analytics as well would be a great emerging field for new students.
WABE TechCast can be heard Tuesdays on 90.1. Hear past episodes of this and other podcasts from WABE at our website, wabe.org, and don't forget to subscribe so you never miss one. Follow WABE on Twitter at WABE News, and I'm at Emil Moffett, EmilMoffett. Our chief content officer is Scott Wolfel.
Our managing editor is Alex Helmick, and WABE's podcast producer is Kevin Rinker. I'm Emil Moffitt. Thanks for listening, and join us next week for our Toast to Tech.